La Fondazione Arezzo Wave Italia presenta Eclettica, ideata e condotta da Giulio Caperdoni.
Signore e signori, buonasera.
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 Buonasera. Trasmettiamo
Eclettica!
Cari ragazzi, buon pomeriggio.
Il programma Eclettica,
rubrica dedicata ai problemi tecnici dell'agricoltura
di e con Giulio Caperdoni.
Inizia oggi il suo regolare servizio di trasmissioni televisive.
Da parte mia a tutti voi l'augurio di una buona visione.
Signore e signori, buonasera.
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 Buon pomeriggio.
Buonasera.
Sera.
Sera. Sera.
Tra qualche istante vi trasmetteremo a colori
Eclettica! Eclettica! Eclettica!
Andrà in onda tra qualche istante
Eclettica!
Non era più una strada, ma un mondo. Un tempo e uno spazio di cenere in caduta e semi-oscurità. Camminava verso nord tra calcinacci e fango, e c'erano persone che gli correvano accanto tenendosi asciugamani sul viso o giacche sulla testa. Avevano fazzoletti premuti sulle bocche, avevano scarpe in una mano, una donna gli corse accanto una scarpa per mano. Correvano e cadevano, alcuni confusi e sgraziati, fra i detriti che scendevano tutti intorno, e qualcuno cercava rifugio sotto le automobili. Nell'aria c'era ancora il boato, il tuono ritorto del crollo. Il mondo era questo adesso. Fumo e cenere rotolavano per le strade e svoltavano angoli, esplodevano dagli angoli, sismiche ondate di fumo, cariche di fogli di carta per ufficio in formati standard dai bordi taglienti, che planavano, guizzavano in avanti, oggetti soprannaturali nel sudario del mattino.
Well, they shot a man last night down in the valley, while everyone in town was asleep. For the half-staff flags, for the body bags that were given back into the deep. They were way before the time for the family's shout. Like an old man's doubt as the runners crossed the line, little boy stood so soft. And when the bombs went off, the child coughed as he was leaving. As the drones came down on their little town, she wasn't breathing. Ain't nothing good.
Election night 2000, everything seemed to be going as planned.
In New York, Al Gore is our projected winner.
The Garden State is green for Gore.
We project that Mr. Gore is the winner in Delaware. This state has voted with the winner.
Excuse me 1 second, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. Mike, you know I wouldn't do this if it weren't big. Florida goes for Al Gore.
CNN announces that we call Florida in the Al Gore column.
Then something called the Fox News Channel called the election in favor of the other guy.
I interrupt you. Fox News now projects George W. Bush the winner in Florida, and thus it appears the winner of the presidency of the United States.
All of a sudden, the other network said, hey, if Fox said it, it must be true.
All of us at the networks made a mistake and projected Florida in the Al Gore column. It was our mistake.
Now, what most people don't know is that the man who was in charge of the decision desk at Fox that night, the man who called it for Bush, was none other than Bush's first cousin, John Ellis. How does someone like Bush get away with something like this? Well, first, it helps if your brother is the governor of the state in question.
You know something? We are going to win Florida. Mark my words. You can write it down.
Indossava giacca e pantaloni e portava una valigetta. Aveva vetri fra i capelli e sul viso, capsule marmorizzate di sangue e luce. superò un cartello, Breakfast Special, e gli altri gli sfrecciarono accanto, una corsa di vigili urbani e guardie private, con le mani premute sui calci delle pistole per tenerle ferme. Dentro, dove avrebbe dovuto trovarsi, le cose erano distanti e immobili. Stava accadendo ovunque intorno a lui. Un'automobile mezza sepolta dai detriti, finestrini sfondati e rumori che fuoriuscivano, voci radiofoniche che sfioravano i calcinacci. Vide persone che, correndo, spargevano acqua, abiti e corpi infradiciati dai getti dei sistemi antincendio. C'erano scarpe abbandonate per strada, borsette e computer portatili, un uomo seduto sul marciapiede che tossiva sangue. Bicchieri di carta avanzavano rimbalzando in modo strano. Il mondo era anche questo, sagome dentro finestre a 300 metri d'altezza che cadevano nel vuoto, e tanfo di combustibile in fiamme e lo squarcio costante delle sirene nell'aria.
Bye.
As the attack took place, Mr. Bush was on his way to an elementary school in Florida. When informed of the first plane hitting the World Trade Center, where terrorists had struck just 8 years prior, Mr. Bush decided to go ahead with his photo opportunity.
When the second plane hit the tower, his chief of staff entered the classroom and told Mr. Bush, "The nation is under attack." Not knowing what to do, with no one telling him what to do, and no Secret Service rushing in to take him to safety, Mr. Bush just sat there and continued to read My Pet Goat with the children. Nearly 7 minutes passed with nobody doing anything. As Bush sat in that Florida classroom, was he wondering if maybe he should have shown up to work more often? Should he have held at least one meeting since taking office to discuss the threat of terrorism with his head of counterterrorism? Or maybe Mr. Bush was wondering why he had cut terrorism funding from the FBI. Or perhaps he just should have read the security briefing that was given to him on August 6, 2001, which said that Osama bin Laden was planning to attack America by hijacking airplanes. But maybe he wasn't worried about the terrorist threat because the title of the report was too vague.
I believe the title was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States.
A report like that
might make some men jump. But as in days past, George W. just went fishing.
Enjoy our party, we're falling. Into a field star all around. A toy of light for minor, to single drops into the gulf. Then where about the no tracks to follow once you're there. So enjoy your party, baby, when we go. We'll be in the field store.
Suono del secondo crollo, o lo avvertì nel tremore dell'aria, la torre nord che cadeva, uno sconcerto sommesso di voci in lontananza. La torre nord che crollava era lui. Il cielo era più leggero lì e riusciva a respirare più facilmente. C'erano altri dietro di lui, migliaia, che andavano riempiendo la media distanza, una massa prossima a formarsi, gente che fuoriusciva dal fumo. Proseguì finché non dovette fermarsi. Lo investì, rapida, la consapevolezza di non poter andare oltre. Provò a dirsi che era vivo, ma era un'idea troppo scura per riuscire a prendere corpo. Non c'erano taxi e il traffico in genere scarseggiava. E allora apparve un vecchio furgoncino, una ditta elettrica di Long Island City. Egli accostò e il conducente si sporse dal finestrino dal lato del passeggero a esaminare ciò che stava vedendo. Un uomo incrostato di cenere, di materie polverizzata, e gli chiese dove voleva andare.
You come in September 12th, ready to plot what response we take to Al-Qaeda. Let me talk to about the response that you got from top administration officials. On that day, what did the president say to you?
The president, in a very intimidating way, left us, me and my staff, with the clear indication that he wanted us to come back with the word that there was an Iraqi hand behind 9/11, because they had been planning to do something about Iraq from before the time they came into office.
Did he ask about any other nations other than Iraq?
No, not at all. It was Iraq, Saddam, find out, get back to me.
And were his questions more about Iraq than about Al-Qaeda?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He didn't ask me about Al-Qaeda.
And the reaction you got that day from the Defense Secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, from his assistant, Paul Wolfowitz?
Well, Donald Rumsfeld said, when we talked about bombing the Al-Qaeda infrastructure in Afghanistan, he said there were no good targets in Afghanistan. Let's bomb Iraq. And we said, but Iraq had nothing to do with this. And that didn't seem to make much difference. And the reason they had to do Afghanistan first was it was obvious that al-Qaeda had attacked us, and it was obvious that al-Qaeda was in Afghanistan. The American people wouldn't have stood by if we had done nothing on Afghanistan.
Si chiude qua la prima parte di Eclettica, ma tra poco inizierà la seconda. In questa prima parte, Giulio Caperdoni vi ha letto le parole da L'uomo che cade di Don DeLillo. Vi ha mostrato le immagini da Fahrenheit 9/11 di Michael Moore e vi ha fatto ascoltare le seguenti canzoni: Andrew St. James con I'll See You Next Week, Mother Maze con Broken Path, Belly Hole Freak con Elastic Fantastic, Songs for Roland con Field Star. Ah, tra poco.
Il vostro programma comprende oggi la rubrica
Eclettica.
Concorso per i frequenti buoni. Signore e signori, buonasera.
Buonasera.